Happy Father's Day. It is great to have Greg as a great spiritual father over our church and to know that we have great fathers within our church body. So I just want to encourage you, hopefully today you are spending some time with people you love and getting to honor the fathers in your household. I know not all of us have our fathers with us. Some of them may have gone before. Some of us may have, this might be a hard day where you didn't have a great father figure in your life, but I want you to be encouraged. At church, you got a good spiritual father in Greg, and there's good fathers to be around. So I pray that you're encouraged no matter what. This morning, I want to bring you a message of encouragement and really a challenge for us on this Father's Day that we have an opportunity to learn something. And so I'm going to bring to you a short message. We've already done a lot this morning, but I want to bring you two principles from God's Word. And so before I do that, I'm going to pray that God helps me and that all of us have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to us. Amen. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to learn something new. God, we recognize that we are not all who we are meant to be right now currently, that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we ask, Jesus, that your written word would become a living word and it would pierce our hearts, God, that it would show us where we need to improve, where we need to be molded into your image, Jesus. So I thank you for your word and I pray a blessing over it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So again, this morning we are talking about fathers. Happy Father's Day. And I want to share with you two principles. The first one being the principle of honoring. I know a few years ago, our church went through a Sunday school class about honors reward. We talked about the importance of honoring one another and creating a culture of honor. And this is important, but I want to highlight a couple Bible verses to you that talk about this. One being that I think most of us know from Ephesians 6:2. It's actually quoting the Old Testament, and it says, honor your father that it may be well with you. And the verse goes on and says a few more things, but that's the part I want to highlight it to you. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live a long life. And I think sometimes we hear that and we're like, oh yeah, I know that commandment, one of the Ten Commandments. I know that one, got it. But I want us to think about that for a second, maybe chew on that. The idea is it's a command, meaning it's not something that's always going to come natural or always going to come easy. It means there's going to be times you don't feel like honoring somebody because they don't deserve it, right? That they didn't, they are not perfect, right? They did something wrong. There's things that we feel a right where we can withhold honor. And God's word is saying, no, actually, your father is someone that you are to honor at all times, even when they disobey, even when they make a mistake. We are supposed to give them honor, right? And so what is honor? The Hebrew word for honor, it comes up with this idea of great respect, high esteem, high regard, to value as precious, and lastly, weighty or having great substance. So it's this idea that we are revering, that we treasure, right? That valuable preciousness, that we see our fathers in our lives as someone that's precious, that they mean a lot to us. So even when we see somebody like our father make a mistake, we can still hold them in high regard. And so why I keep saying this is because I feel like these principles, they apply really to everybody in your life. It can apply to your boss, to your wife, to your children, to any relationship you have. But obviously on Father's Day, we're talking about fathers. And but this idea, this principle of honoring, the idea, the reason why Paul wrote this in Ephesians, the reason that Moses wrote in the Old Testament, wasn't just to bring honor to fathers. That was a goal and a purpose in writing this in God's word. But if you read that in Ephesians 6:2, it's saying this is the first commandment with a promise. And he's saying that it might go well with you. So Paul, when he's writing this to the Ephesian church, he's saying that, man, I want you to go well with you. I want your life to go well. And you know how to get your life to go well? It's actually to honor your fathers. Paul recognized himself as a father. So he wasn't writing this to say, you need to honor me. You need to treat me with more respect. He wasn't trying to get more respect for himself. He's saying, no, I want you to have a good life. And for you to have a good life, you're going to have to learn how to increase your honor for people in authority. And so I thought that's important for us on this Father's Day, that we learn to honor people. And I know, again, like I said, we just honored Greg this morning, and he's someone it's easy to honor. He's someone who is following the Lord, who does a lot of things right. And so it becomes very natural or easy for us to honor him. But I know there's somebody watching that you might have a struggle in honoring people, whether it be your biological dad, whether it be your president, whether it be whoever it is. You know, I've heard, you know, over the last decades in the church, I've heard Christians say, well, I didn't vote for that. I didn't vote for that man. He's not my president. And can I tell you that is wrong? That's a sin. That's withholding honor. Even though you disagree with somebody, we are still called to honor. I want to show you another verse that that highlights this. I don't know if you can read this. It's a small text up here, but in Mark, on the beginning of the gospel, in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, this is towards the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it says this: Jesus returned to his hometown. Many were amazed. Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. Because of this, he couldn't do any miracles among them. This is huge. Maybe you've heard this verse before, but again, it's highlighting the idea of honor. That Jesus, as he came back to his hometown, people were talking, you can read the verses yourself. I kind of highlighted a few of them, but if you read all the verses in this story, they're saying they saw him speak, and they're saying, where did he get this authority? And they saw him perform miracles. Where did he get all this power? We heard about him somewhere else, and he's doing these great, marvelous things, and they were amazed, and they were like, wow, this is so cool. And then they realized, wait a second, he's just Jesus who grew up in our hometown. Wait, he's just a carpenter. Wait, that's Mary's son. Wait, aren't his brothers and sisters? They're right here next to us. And as they devalued him, they at first were amazed when they heard about this Jesus. But as they made him common and they said, oh, he's just familiar. Oh, he's not that important. It says that Jesus was not able to do any miracles among them. That's huge. This is talking about the Son of God who deserves all honor, all respect, right? And he can do whatever he wants. But Jesus is saying that even a prophet isn't received, isn't honored in his own hometown. And because of that, you can't receive the reward of that. And so there's something I want us to understand and learn that when we withhold honor, it's not just limiting God. It's not just limiting that father or that person of authority from doing what they're supposed to do. It's actually withholding good blessings in our lives, right? Jesus desired to heal. Jesus went everywhere and had compassion and was performing miracles. But in his own hometown, people missed out. And I'm saying, I think there's things here I want us to learn that we are missing out on things that God has desiring to do for us. But when we don't honor, we miss out. And I just want us to think about that, that this idea that if Jesus was restricted and Jesus couldn't do things because of a lack of honor, think about your own life. I wonder if your dishonor is causing someone in your life from doing mighty works. Is your lack of honor, I'm going to say it again, is your lack of honor causing someone in your life not the ability to do mighty works? So you can honor somebody who you feel doesn't deserve it, but as you give them that honor, it elevates them, it promotes them to a place where they can now give. They can actually do things they couldn't do before. And I just want to encourage you that I felt that as your pastor, I have felt honor. I know there's people in our church that you are old enough to be my parents and even my grandparents, and you have showed me honor. And I can feel that. I can feel at times where it's hard when I'm in a room, sometimes preaching to a camera all by myself. It gets hard, right? But when I'm in a room full of people that I know that honor me, I can feel the difference. I can say, oh, they're pulling on the anointing or the blessing that God has given me. They're wanting it and they're honoring me. And so there's things that come out of me that wouldn't come out of me maybe somewhere else. And so I just want to encourage you that in this challenge I'm giving to you personally, that as your pastor, I feel your honor. And so thank you for honoring me. So that's the first principle, the principle of honor. The next one is the principle of receiving. And what does that mean? Principle of receiving. I want to give you a couple of scriptures to understand what this means. So the second one, principle of receiving, we're going to look first at Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 41. And it says this: He who receives you receives me. Receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, and you shall receive a righteous man's reward. Again, I'm highlighting these things. There's a lot more in these verses, but this is Jesus talking. And he's saying that if you receive me, you're actually receiving my Father who sent me. And there's this idea of receiving, that Jesus is saying there is this principle that when you receive me, you're receiving something even greater than me. When you receive a righteous man, you're receiving a righteous man's reward. So there's this idea that we can receive people that God has placed in our lives. So again, it's very connected to this idea of honoring. But there's something about it where we are called to receive, right? We know that salvation, even that scripture says that we can receive salvation, right? It's a free gift of God. God did all the work. Jesus did all the work on the cross, but we have to receive it. There's something about receiving that's important. And so I just gave that example earlier about a president, right? You can say, well, I didn't vote for that man. He's not my president. I don't receive him as my president. Well, when you do that, you lose the reward. When you do that, you're not following godly principles. You're not following scripture. So there's this idea that we can receive. There's people that God has placed in our lives for a purpose. You can say, well, I don't like them, but they are in your life. And God is saying, receive people, receive those that are in your life. And again, we're talking about Father's Day. So the idea of fathers, receive sounds like selfish in it. But my desire, I feel like a little bit like Paul, my desire is to bless you. My desire is for your life to go well. And so it is this idea that if we reject honor, we don't give it where it's due, or we don't receive people in the place that God has given us, man, we're missing out. We're the ones that lack it, right? It's that whole idea of forgiveness. You've heard that analogy before, that withholding forgiveness to someone who's wronged us is like drinking poison in hopes that they will be punished, right? It doesn't work. So you can have somebody who you can say they're not worthy of honor. Well, I don't want to receive them. But as you do that, you're actually robbing yourself of joy. You're robbing yourself of all the blessings of God. But as we learn to honor, as we choose to do it, right? Sometimes we don't feel like it, but we choose to submit ourselves to God's word. And we, as we act in obedience, there's a reward. There's a blessing that comes. So I'm going to read another verse here. So you read Matthew 10. In John chapter 1, this is right the beginning of the gospel, talking about Jesus. In verses 11 to 12, it says this. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So again, this is just giving you some more depth and understanding of this idea of receiving. That he came to his own. This is really the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, Israel. He came to his own and they didn't receive him. But whoever did receive him, he gave the rights to become children of God, sons and daughters of God. So even the Gentiles, whoever believes in the Son of God, he gives them the right to become children of God. So there's this idea that receiving is a big deal, right? That Jesus was sent to the Jew first, but the Jew can reject him and don't receive him. And so they miss out on salvation. They miss out on the healings. They miss out on all the rewards and benefits of who Jesus is. And so I want you to connect that, this same idea that you can have a father figure placed in your life and you can say, I don't receive them. I don't want to receive their correction. I don't want to receive their blessing. I don't want to be a part of their life. And as you do that, oh man, you are rejecting all the blessing that God has in your life. So there's the idea, maybe you do have a good father, like my own kids, right? They receive me as their dad, but there can be even just in elements, right? I know they're not rejecting me as their dad, but there's times where I feel it, where they disobey me, where they do things where it's like, I know they're not receiving the instruction of their father. And when they do that, they're missing out. It's not just that it hurts me as their dad. I know that, man, it's messing up their life. They're stunting their growth. They are not allowing God's blessing to flow into their life. And so I just want you to understand that it's the same thing for you, whether you're a 12-year-old in my household or you're a 70-year-old in my church, that when you don't receive, you're the one missing out. When you don't receive something that maybe is good medicine, that's hard for you to swallow. But as you receive that, you're actually going to get the good fruits and the good rewards of that. Let's see. It's the same thing I've heard in the church, right? That we're talking about Jesus. Anyone who wants to get to heaven, you have to receive Jesus. We just read that in John chapter 1. If you want eternal life, you have to receive and believe in Jesus Christ. I've heard people in the church say, well, you've heard me say several times, well, I don't want just a ticket to heaven. I don't want just life insurance that I know I'm going to heaven one day. I want to receive all that God has for me. And when you say that, that means you're opening yourself up to everything, right? Things that you might not want, but as you receive all that God has for you, it's not just the good blessings, all the fun, enjoyable things, the things that make you comfortable. There's things I'm receiving his correction, his rebuke. I'm receiving the truth that sometimes stings, right? It's receiving all these things. And I've heard people say, well, I want the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but actually you have to receive the Holy Spirit. There is a day where you need to say, just like there's a day and time where you make Jesus your Lord and Savior. I do believe there can be a specific date and time, biblically, scripturally, you can see that there is a time when people received the Holy Spirit. I know we're on the heels of Pentecost Sunday being several weeks ago, But there's something about even Christ's followers, his 12 disciples, or the 120 in the upper room. They were following Jesus, and they believed in Jesus. They were going to heaven. They were saved. But there came a day when they had to receive the Holy Spirit. And as they received the Holy Spirit, what did they get? And they received power. They received authority. They received the gifts of the Spirit, right? They received the ability to do things they could not on their own, speak in unknown languages, right? To speak boldly with authority. There was all kinds of gifts that were given to them. And so I encourage you, if there's things that you desire, you want the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you have to open up your heart and say, Holy Spirit, you have freedom to go in every room, every area of my heart. There's things, there's sins, there's secret things that nobody else knows. You have to expose yourself to all of those things have to be exposed to the Lord, to allow him to do surgery, to allow him to clean those things out. And as he does, oh man, that's where he's given the freedom to give you the gifts. My goal this morning is, I know I don't have a long sermon, but we've done lots of other things this morning. But I want you to hear, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? We've gone over two principles. We've gone over the idea of practically honoring Pastor Greg as one of the fathers of our household. And I can encourage you, man, send him some Father's Day cards, encourage him, do all those things. But more than that, I want your life to go well with you. I want you to be blessed. And I want the Holy Spirit, whatever he's stirring in your heart this morning, that you would hear those things and you would receive the word of the Lord to you this morning. So what is it? Take just a second right now and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Where is an area in my life? Is there somebody in my life? Is there a specific person, whether it be someone in government, whether it be someone in your household, whether it be someone at the church, you name it, the workplace, where is somebody that you maybe have withheld honor? And God is putting his finger there this morning. He's saying, it's time for you to receive them as who Christ intended them to be in your life, and to allow them to speak into your life, to allow them to bring correction. Maybe they don't want to speak correction. Maybe they don't want to do this. Maybe it's just the idea of honoring them and giving them a place to say, you know what? I love you. I value you. I respect you. And to do something, right? Sometimes we want to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? How do you put into action what Christ is telling you this morning? So I'm going to say a prayer to close out our service. I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us. Amen. So Holy Spirit, as we just heard, we invite you to come into our hearts, to show us if there be any wicked way in us. God, show us where we might be withholding honor. God, I know just specifically in this trying time, in the season we're in with the coronavirus and just new laws being passed and just different things going on politically, God, that there's things where I know the enemy is trying to bring things in our lives where we would withhold honor, where we become frustrated, anger with people in the government, over us, God, whatever it be, God, I know the enemy, that's one of his tactics. And so, God, our desire right now is we yield to you. Holy Spirit, show us where we can increase honor to those who are in places of authority over us. God, we don't want it just to be something that we hear this morning, our hearts are stirred. We want to put into action, God. What can we do to bless, to honor, to reward those who are serving us in a place of authority? So God, I pray that you would have your way, God, that even in our households, Lord, that there would be increased honor, not just for our fathers, God, but for our children, for our wives, for every relationship in our household, God. May we increase our honor, increase our submission and respect for, God. May you find joy in seeing us humble ourselves. May you find joy in seeing us serve one another, God. May we serve you with gladness, God. May it not be with gritted teeth or God saying, I have to submit, I have to honor. But God, may there be a joy, a hilariousness, or God, it says that you love a joyful giver. So God, may we give honor with joy. May we give respect. May we give our best, Lord God, to those in authority over us. And may we do it with a happy heart, God, so that you receive all the glory and honor.